You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The College Football Experience West Virginia Mountaineers 2022 season preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's brought to you by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app. No, yes, the College Football Experience is what I mean. Get ready for the college football season by checking out all 131 college football team previews. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/CFB. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/CFB.
Hey, this is Pac-Man Jones. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Episode. My name is Colby Swinging Dantermaze Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I smoke and I drink and I don't have stress and I'm healthy.
Let's go to Morgantown. I consider Morgantown the epitome of what the energy we try to bring on the College Football Experience and College Basketball Experience, because they are a college town. It's awesome. I've been to Morgantown, so that's why I had to bring on this guest here. First off, behind the scenes, you might not know that this guy's helped out a lot with the College Football and College Basketball Experience, but he also... this guy's a WVU grad. All right. I had to get him on. He's, chances are high probability that he has lit a couch on fire. And give it up for Ryan McIntyre, host of the NBA Gambling Podcast and the Ryan and Rush Show. How you doing? And I appreciate you hopping on the show, man.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Colby, and fired up to be on the College Football Experience. I know we talk about the College Basketball Experience a lot. Fired up to talk about my alma mater, the big year four of the Neil Brown era.
And I gotta be honest. It's, well, first, like, let's just enjoy this.
Morgantown, you'll always be home sweet home to me.
Oh yeah.
Good old Morgantown. Morgantown WP.
Great song. Morgantown's fantastic, but I'll be honest, so far I'm kind of eating a little bit of shit. I thought the Neil Brown hire was really good when it happened. Mm-hmm. And you look at what he's done. He's just 17 and 18. This is year four. So 3 years in, 17, 18, the COVID year, obviously. But still, that's not what I envisioned. I thought it was a really good hire, and I'm a bit baffled at. And it's weird because I guess we got to play this, because this, in my opinion, this fits the West Virginia team over the past couple of years.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
Sometimes they pass the eye test. There'll be certain games where I'll be like, oh, okay, he's got this program rolling. And then there'll be certain games where I go, what? How did you lose this game? You know, I started to buy in after the Virginia Tech win last year. Turns out maybe Virginia Tech wasn't that good. What's your overall assessment of Neil Brown?
So the thing I struggle with this team and this program, I don't see what their identity is. Like I watch them on obviously a week to week basis. It's my alma mater, big fan. And I can't figure out what they're trying to do offensively, defensively. You mentioned the COVID year. The COVID year was actually the best year under Neil Brown, and they were good defensively that year. I think their identity this year, if they're going to have one, is their offensive line. They return everybody on the offensive line, and that's the core of what their strength is coming into this year. And then obviously, like every team, it comes down to quarterback play. And JT Daniels, the transfer from Georgia, it's kind of ride or die with him. I mean, this is Neil's ticket right here.
Yeah, this is a make or break year. I thought it was a home run get by getting him, knowing the situation. You know, Deggy had moved on to Western Kentucky. He's now since moved on to Troy, where Neil Brown's originally from Troy. I mean, look, when he was at Troy, I bought in. But I'll be honest, you're dead on. The identity of this team has been, in my opinion, if I had to break down the past 3 years, unknown offensively. But normally good defense, and they get destroyed by the portal every year. That would be my assessment of West Virginia football under Neil Brown. But you make a great point. I think he finally, the offensive lines were pretty bad. And I will say this, from what I understand, and when Holgorsen left for Houston, I understand that he saw the writing on the wall, much like Jimbo Fisher when he was at Florida State. He knew that the players they had coming in, he was like, man, I better cash my chips in while I have this, because the players that are coming in are not fit. They're not the same players we had before. So I've heard that maybe that was the case. I know Neil Brown, feels great about returning. Any coach would feel great about returning all five offensive linemen. So maybe this is the year, but once again, I still believe they did take some huge hits in the portal. And I guess another big question is, can JT Daniels stay healthy?
Yeah.
Throughout his whole college career, back to at USC, when he plays, he's pretty good. But the question, I don't think I've seen him play a full season ever in college football. So I'd have to go back and double check that, but I believe so. Well, let's hop into it, because Neil Brown brings in Graham Harrell as offensive coordinator. You know where he was last year? He was at USC running the air raid. He did have a top 25 offense, mainly pass offense, because they don't commit to the run much. Graham Harrell's a former Texas Tech quarterback, played with Mike Leach. So he's going to run the air raid. Now that is going to give you an offensive identity. And another thing is JT Daniels, I think, will have a little bit of familiarity with systems like that. At Georgia, they didn't really, Monken kind of did. He had that MO, but they didn't really do that. But back to USC, I would say they kind of did it then. So I think Daniels is a nice fit if he can stay healthy. If returning five offensive linemen is good, I'm sure JT Daniels, when he was considering, because I know Missouri and Oregon State was trying to grab him, I'm sure that, hey, this team's returning five starters, I think I'll choose this one. But he inherits an offense that was 88th in total offense, 103rd in rush offense, 56th in pass offense, and charting at 87th overall. And I think this is a gigantic question, because with Graham Harrell here, it's how fast can he do it? Because Neil Brown, I don't think he's got an extra year. It's got to happen this year. So that is a big question. Because another thing is, when you're bringing in a brand new offense, now I will say this, 56th in pass offense last year, so you were kind of a passing team last year. But the air raid is a little bit different as far as timing and rhythm and chemistry. Normally when you're implementing the air raid, Mike Leach will tell us this. We've had conversations with the guy saying that normally it's about rhythm. It's about rhythm, and it's not, it's hard to get that. So when Leach went to Mississippi State year one, or when he went to Washington State year one, they struggled because you got to develop that. That's after reps, repetition. And that's going to be the question, I think, for Graham Harrell, is how fast can he implement this? Now it seems like they got a little bit of a head start as far as last year, they were a pass heavy team. So there's that. Seven starters back are on offense. JT Daniels, obviously we touched on, he's essential to their success, I believe. Also, I'm seeing that they're probably going to go with this freshman Tony Mathis at running back. Interesting. I know they've had some success. Letty Brown was a beast on the ground. So, but with them not committing to the run as much, maybe that won't be as big as a factor. They do return two of three at wideout, led by Sam James and Bryce Ford Wheaton, breaking in a new tight end. I'm seeing it penciled in. This is going to all change because of camp, obviously. But Mike O'Loughlin 5 of 5 back on the O-line. I'll be honest, the offense has the potential. I don't know about the ground attack, but it has the potential. When you turn all five starting offensive linemen, you get 2 or 3 wideouts back, and you get a quarterback that can probably throw the ball better than, you know, a lot since Will Grier, really. Probably the best throwing quarterback since Will Grier. What do you make of the offense? You think this can be an offense that, I think the another thing is, it matters how fast it can start, and they play 11 power fives this year. We're going to get more to the schedule, but your thoughts.
Brutal schedule.
Yeah.
It's brutal. But yeah, we'll touch on that in a minute. The ironic thing is Dana Holgerson's also a Mike Leach guy. So they've had success in this league under this air raid. That's been their best offensive teams. You touch on Will Grier, Skylar Howard, even rewind all the way to their first year in the Big 12 with Geno Smith in that team. So, I mean, I think JT Daniels chose here because of the offensive line. I mean, he's had issues staying healthy, and what better way to stay healthy than be behind 5 good offensive linemen? And I think they're going to be more explosive with Graham Harrell coming over from USC this year. They're going to have to be. And I mean, everybody that watches the Big 12 knows what they're known for. It's an offensive league.
Yeah, it really is. And Leach has had his imprint. I knew Holgerson played for him at Iowa Wesleyan back in the day. Defensively, Jordan Leslie, I think he's done a pretty damn good job. Last year, 45th in scoring defense, 43rd in rush defense, 40th in pass defense, starting at 37th overall. And folks, I don't have the information in front of me, but if I was to pull what they lost in the portal last year, you would say there. I was like, there's no way they're going to have a top 40 defense. But no, they still managed to play good defensive football. Now here's the problem here. Only 4 starters back. Starters back, but they do have Dante Stills, who is a beast on the defensive line. They get 2 or 3 back on the D line. They get 2 or 3 back in the linebacking core, led by Lance Dixon. They are breaking in an entirely brand new secondary. That is concerning. Their kicker is back, but they are breaking in a new punter. Talk to me about, I'll say this. If you were to tell me, not even West Virginia, if you were to tell me any team, and I was the head coach, and you told me, Kobe, you could have, you know, 2 players back, you had to break in a brand new unit anywhere, I think I would choose secondary. I know that's even a little crazy because the Big 12 fires the ball around some, but I still think I would choose secondary. So I know that's never a good situation to lose your whole unit, but if there was one, I think that's what I would choose. So maybe there's some optimism there. What do you make of the defensive side of the ball with West Virginia?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And like you said, last year, from the year before that, it was a transition year. They've gotten killed by the portal, where guys are transferring left and right. And a guy, Charles Woods, is going to be the leader of the secondary. So I think this defense will patch it together like they have. Now, with that said, patching it together, you're still playing Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I guess you could throw Texas in there, even though they're always overrated. We always struggle with Texas Tech. TCU is going to be new under Sonny Dykes. And I said, obviously, Oklahoma State with Gundy. So,
yeah.
And Iowa State. I know you, Iowa State and K-State, you're higher on them than the general public, which I agree with. So they're always tricky. So it's an offensive league. So this defense got to get patched together quickly, especially with Pitt and Virginia Tech on the non-con.
Yeah, exactly. And the non-con is so 9 conference games, and you stack a 2 rivalry games. I mean, look, I my heart is with the athletic director there, because look, and I'll get I want your 2 cents on this. I know that you probably were there when they entered the Big 12, your years in Morgantown, if I had to guess, but I don't like them in the Big 12, man. I want to see them playing Virginia Tech. I want to see them playing Pitt. I want to see them playing even like Maryland and Virginia and that whole area. I want even that's Cincinnati great. And stuff, you know, I mean, that's the benefit of Cincinnati coming to the Big 12 is I go, ooh, we can get a Cincinnati West Virginia rivalry maybe. But what do you make of the Big 12 10 years into this thing now, I think 10, 11 years into them being a part of the Big 12. You like it in the Big 12?
Me personally, no, just cause I've dealt with the travel. Being on the basketball side of things, like I'm hearing all these complaints from UCLA and USC about potential travel issues. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, I saw Jay Bill's tweet out the other day. He's like, West Virginia's been dealing with this for a decade now. These guys are pros now. It's the new college athletics. It is what it is.
Yeah. And you know, I know that, yeah, having to go, cause I mean, a lot of these Big 12 teams are in small towns. I've been to Stillwater, Oklahoma. I've been to some of these towns, short of Austin. And, you know, I guess Norman is somewhat close to Oklahoma City, so you have that, but there's getting to Manhattan, Kansas is not an easy thing to do. No. Getting to Waco, Ames. Texas, even. Yeah. So
yeah, Ames is tricky too.
Lubbock. I think Lubbock is a pain in the ass to get to. Yeah. I think, so I don't know, but I'm glad to see they did that. Look, we're going to talk transfer portal. We're going to talk what Las Vegas expects from the Mountaineers in 2022 and what we expect. We're going to go game by game on the schedule. And by the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see what Las Vegas expects, because shout out to the SGPN graphics team for putting together that stuff. And yeah, remember, folks, the College Football Experience, subscribe to that for wherever podcasts can be heard. Also, the College Basketball Experience. But we are together as one on YouTube at youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Subscribe, tell a friend. All right, we're going to get to all that. But now I got to get us paid. I want to tell you folks out there that the College Football Experience, West Virginia Mountaineers 2022 season preview episode, it's brought to you by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by Odds Trader. Yes, Odds Trader is a place to compare odds from all the major sports books. You can also compare the different signup codes and promo codes from sportsbook to assure that you get the best deal possible. The app also provides player stats, key game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather, you know, for the bettors that make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker, so bettors can keep records of all your games, all your betting activity. For me, that's huge, because you get me into like December and I'm on like 30 different sports. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing college, but I got five college basketball plays. I got five college football plays. Yeah. I'm playing the Chimichanga Bowl in El Paso or something. You know what I mean? Like, then I got the NFL going on, you know, Ryan hosts the NFL gambling podcast. People subscribe. Right. But I'm saying, you know, you're just spread out everywhere. You're touching, you know, NHL. I don't even watch that much NHL, but if I get a tip, let me get in there. So to organize it all, huge for me. Go to oddstrader.com/bluewire. OddsTrader, the number one site for all your game day bets. We're also brought to you by Run Your Pool. Run Your Pool is the home of competition, bringing sports fans and their social circles together to compete, connect, and make every game matter more. And believe it or not, Run Your Pool offers every game you can really think of. I mean, Pick'em, Survivor, Fantasy Pools. It is a one-stop shop for sports gaming with customizable features that you simply will not get anywhere else. And we've teamed up with Run Your Pool because we're hosting our official SGPN NFL Survivor contest. What are you doing, bozos? Hop in now. It's free to enter. Reserve your spot. We're going to give away $500 cash and a $250 gift card to the SGPN store to the winner. So get in right now. Sign up at play.runyourpool.com/SGP. That's play.runyourpool.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of different players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I know I do. They just passed 4 million users. All right. And now you can win with their brand new over under game. It's fantastic. First in any sport, you choose two or more players you like. You pick the over or under on their stat projection. And if you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the amount of money you put in. And with the NFL season right around the corner, Sleeper is the first sports contest game built into the fantasy experience. So right now on your mobile phone, join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. Once again, that's sleeper.com/SGP, and you'll get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. See Sleeper's terms of use for details. All right, we are back talking Mountaineer football. And well, I mean, there's a lot to talk about when it comes, like we alluded to earlier. The transfer portal has been absolutely crazy over the past few years. I would say, look, I mean, Arizona State might make the cut this year, but Colorado and West Virginia have been just depleted by the transfer portal. And maybe you can add on Arizona State with all the pending stuff that's going on over there. Let's talk about it here, because let's start with incoming, because we try to grade the transfer portal in 2022 since it's absolutely fucking bananas. before 5 years ago, we would just say, oh, they added one transfer. Let's talk about it. Now it's like, no, everyone's going everywhere. Right. So we try to get together and see what the team will look like. See if we can. I think it's essential to grade the transfer portal. I mean, short of what Kirk Ferentz at Iowa and Dabo Swinney at Clemson, I feel like everyone or the service academies. But the incoming class for the Mountaineers, obviously we alluded to this, getting JT Daniels from Georgia. I think that's huge. And I think you can build a case alone on that they won the portal, because a quarterback is so huge. You almost need a very good quarterback in 2022. And they address these situations. I mean, obviously defensive backs, we just talked about this. They didn't have any defensive, they're breaking in a brand new secondary. Well, they go out, and this was a late get, and Patty C, my co-host that is normally with me, he played defensive back at James Madison, and I know he was high on Wesley McCormick in the Sun Belt, or in the FCS last year as they transitioned to the Sun Belt. So he was a late transfer that ended up going to West Virginia. I think that's a great get, considering I know they needed to fill some voids. This is a guy that started, if you watch any JMU football over the past couple of years, they're a legit team. Like, they put players in the pros. So I think that's a big get. They also added a cornerback from Colorado State, Rashad Ajayi. So that, I don't know much about him, but addressing that, I think, is huge. They also brought in cornerback Marcus Floyd from the Murray State Racers, going to grab some secondary guys. They also went out and got on the defensive line. Man, I don't know how to pronounce Zaquai Lawton from Cincinnati. All right, right across, right. Okay, that could be a good get. Linebacker Jasir Cox from North Dakota State. Hello, North Dakota State should have jumped to the FBS like 10 years ago. They're really good. So, you know, I know he was an impact player there. They also got defensive lineman Michael Lockhart from the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. They got kicker Parker Grothus from Florida State. I don't think he's going to start, but. And tight end Brian Polandy from Colorado State yet again. They also got a linebacker in Tyreek Austin Cave from the Miami Hurricane. So they were active. They were proactive. I feel like they had to be, because once again, we got to talk about what they lost. Running back Lynn J. Dixon, who, believe it or not, he already transferred out of Tennessee. This guy went from Clemson to West Virginia. He transferred to Tennessee in like early August. And now he's already gone. This guy's hilarious to me. It's like, dude, make up your mind, man. I get it. Do what you want to do. But what is this? Like four schools in three seasons? I mean, I don't know. God bless him. All right. Next up, they lost Ja'Cory Hammett, a linebacker. He's in the portal. They lost offensive tackle John Hughes. Hey, shout out to John Hughes. Rest in peace. The film director. They also lost cornerback Nick Troy Fortune to UTSA, the Roadrunners. Meep, meep. This one, I think, hurt. Four-star loss in the portal. They grade the portal now. Akeem Mesidor went to the Miami Hurricanes. I do think that is a loss that hurts. They lost linebacker Josh Chandler to the Colorado Buffaloes. This was a great get for the Buffaloes because they got destroyed in the portal. That's a tough loss, too. He was a preseason in some publications, preseason second team, Big 12. Linebacker Tavis Lee hit the portal. Also, cornerback Daryl Porter went to Miami. This was a gigantic loss because he was really good for them last year. Tight end Charles Finley hit the portal. Wide receiver Isaiah Esdale went to the Rice Owls. And then wide receiver Sean Ryan to Rutgers. That was a bit surprising to me. If they're bringing in the air raid and I'm a wide receiver, the last place I'm going to go is Rutgers. All right. I that one, like, it's like, what are you doing? They lost cornerback Jackie Matthews, also another four-star in the portal, to Mississippi State. They lost wide receiver Winston Wright, who's really good, to Florida State. Now, he was involved in a car accident down there in Tallahassee, so I'm wishing him the best. They lost quarterback Jared Doggie. Like I said, he was at Western Kentucky. He's already moved on to Troy. And I believe tight end TJ Banks to the Akron Zips, I think. And then, linebacker Vandarius Cowan to the Maryland Terrapins. That's a lot to take in right there. I mean, look, losing those guys in the defensive side of the ball are fucking brutal. There's no other way to cut it, but I still think, with all that said, You have the best quarterback you've had in some time. If he can stay healthy, I'm going to say slight win. I know you got destroyed, like the defensive side of the ball really got hurt. And I even think Sean Ryan, what are you doing? What would you grade that?
I'd say a B. I'm with you because you upgraded the most important position from Daigie to Daniels. By the way, I didn't know if you were reading off the top 25 list or the transfer portal there. That's how many names there were receiving votes. It's ridiculous.
You can find phone books. You can find phone books. Well, if they still had them in this country, probably in certain towns that are probably thinner than what I just read off. But I think getting the quarterback is huge. Obviously losing that many players on the defensive side of the ball is very concerning. Like Josh Chandler was really good. Daryl Porter was really good. The other corner was really good. They lost some key guys. Mezidor on the D line. It's going to be interesting to watch. Okay. So now we're going to hop into the schedule and we're going to talk about the Mountaineers actually. But before we do, I got to get us paid one more time. I want to tell you that the College Football Experience is brought to you by Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. And let me tell you, Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters. It's expert tasted coffee, might I add. Trade's actually got a coffee team. They don't hit the transfer portal because they sit there and taste test thousands of coffees. They keep over 450 different kinds of coffee live, ready to ship out to you every single day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and let Trade's human powered algorithm find it for you. Look, all these people out there doing online dating and all that stuff, you're letting an algorithm connect you to go out to some bar and hope that Susan likes you. All right. Well, do the same for your coffee. All right. Let me tell you, folks, right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order, plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free, people. Get started today by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee that you'll love. We're also brought to you by Babbel. I know that sounds like a kid's book or something, but this is not it. All right. This is for most of us. I definitely fit in this when I say us. Learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. But now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that's sold more than 10 million subscriptions. Jeez, it's like a Beatles album, right? There's just a fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you're traveling abroad or connecting in a deeper way with family, or you know, maybe just have some downtime and you just want to learn a language, Babbel's it's smart how they do this. They do 15-minute lessons, and it makes it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language apps use AI, you know, for their lesson plans, but Babbel's lessons were created by 100 language experts. All right, maybe Ed Orgeron was on there. I don't know. But their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. So, I mean, with Babbel, you can choose over 14 different languages. They include Spanish, French, Italian, German. Plus Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your own pronunciation and with the accents and everything, which is key. So right now, save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/SGP. That's babbel.com/SGP for up to 60% off your prescription, your subscription. We're also brought to you by Elias. Yes, it's almost the start of the NFL season. Once again, subscribe to the NFL Gambling Podcast. We love this time of year. We really love this time. And if you're into sports betting or fantasy, you need a competitive edge to win. That's why I highly recommend the Elias Game Plan app. Yes, it's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, all that stuff. Elias Game Plan is the only sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats, the Elias Sports Bureau. If you don't know what that is, people, that's the official statisticians of US pro sports leagues, including the NFL. So their app lets you access team stats, player stats, head-to-head comparisons, Elias insight they give you for each team. It's really amazing. It's a one-stop shop for player news, league validated player stats, team records, expert game analysis for betting, building your own fantasy team, impressing your friends, whatever. It's perfect for the preseason. You get player previews to help you draft a winning fantasy team. You get team preview, everything you can think of under the sun, really. So take my advice, download the Elias Game Plan app today. NFL season is right around the corner, so don't wait. Find Elias Game Plan in the App Store or Google Play Store today, people. Elias. All right, we are back talking little West Virginia football. What's not to love? Love Morgantown, one of my favorite college towns I've been to. I got to get back there for a game. Although I will say, the one time I went a long time ago, showing my age, someone got in a fight about like 10 seats away from us. And one of the security guys, this would never float nowadays. This is probably like 2002, just to give you an idea. One of the security guys around us decided to pepper spray the whole area. So it's nothing better than just watching a football game as your eyes are completely bloodshot red. And you're just crying. You're crying. Pretty much you just have tears going down your face. And you're sitting there, you're hammered because you've been drinking for 12 hours. You're just like, you know, it was just a classic play. Just like, hey, these two are fighting. Let's just bomb the place. We pretty much got pepper sprayed, bombed. Fantastic place, though. I'm telling you, the tailgating scene in Morgantown, awesome. I highly recommend. I don't even really remember, to tell you the truth. I just remember that I had a great time. So
then you did it right.
Exactly. Hey,
by the way, was that game one of those Virginia Tech, yes, Michael Vick games, or the old vintage Miami Hurricane games?
It was those a Virginia Tech one. Cool. It was not with Vick, though. I think Vick had just gone. It was whoever it was right
between the Vicks.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I might have been Brian Randall, maybe. I once again, I definitely was very young and consuming a lot. Now I did love college football then too, but I just don't remember a lot of the game experience because you guys up there in Morgantown are fantastic. I had like 300 cocktails before I even went in. I don't even know if a cocktail is the correct term. I had like 30 shots of everything you could think of, before,
moonshine.
Yes, exactly. Before I even went into the stadium. So, you know, those people, they do it right. I'm a big fan of Morgantown, West Virginia. And believe it or not, we had Bud Foster on the show, legendary Virginia Tech defensive coordinator on the main feed sports gambling podcast and our Virginia Tech preview here on the College Football Experience. And he was talking about how much he enjoys, even though they're the rivals, that he yeah, loves Morgantown and he thinks they should play every year. So, all right. If you're watching on YouTube, you see the win total 5.5 right there. The action, surprisingly to me, the over is at -125. The under is at +105. So actually Vegas leaning towards towards a 5-7 season.
Yeah.
What is your, if 5-7, could Neil Brown make it another year if they go 5-7, you think?
I don't think so. I think he's at least got to get 6.
I agree.
And then 6, I think, is a decision time for administration. But if they go 5 after going 6, and then the year before that was 6, and then 5 before that, I mean, there's no progression there. It's a dead end at that point. So especially with bringing in JT Daniels, I mean, this is all their eggs are in that basket, and this is the year for them. They need to take a step forward and go 7-5 or 8-4.
Yeah, I mean, I think 7 is pretty much, I mean, you're right, because at 6-6, but then you could win the bowl game and claim you won 7. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think it's right in that gray area. But at the same time, I'm trying to find us something for the effect of the fact that week one, just we're right around the corner here. Thank you, college football gods. All right. Thank you. I need to do just a 10-minute riff on this. We like the fan that, college football, I should say athletic directors, TV execs, school presidents, they've ignored the fan for a long fucking time. All right. That's why we don't see this game. This is ridiculous that we don't see this game, because this game is awesome. When I was a kid growing up in the 80s, some of my first college football memories are watching the Backyard Brawl. So Thursday, September 1st, West Virginia heads to Pittsburgh. Now, look, in my opinion, this should be the last game of the year every year, but I'm just glad it's on the schedule. This game is awesome. It is the reason why college football, in my opinion, and I know you host an NFL show, so I don't want to just shit on the NFL, but I college football and college basketball is where my heart's at because of matchups like this. Because this is the epitome of why college football is great. It's already sold out, and I love this fact that this is the sold out in Heinz. This is not in Morgantown, right? Which is an NFL stadium, and I feel like that doesn't happen all the time with Pittsburgh games. But I've seen Nick Saban talk about it. I've seen the Big Ten commissioner talk about it. I've seen all these people over the past two or three college football seasons complain about fan attendance. They say, "Oh well, you know, our fans need to come out to these games." Well, fuck you. How about you schedule the games we want to see? All right. We don't want to see the Citadel taking on Alabama. Nick Saban's like, "Oh, well, this place wasn't full." Yeah, because you're up 65-0 at the end of the first quarter. We want to see nice matchups. We want rivalries. We want tradition, history, live atmospheres. Yes, if you build it, it will come, to quote Field of Dreams. Please give us more of this. Heinz Field, this is awesome. By far my favorite game of week one. Oh man, and it's so primed. I feel like already Narduzzi's been like a wild man this offseason. Didn't someone wear like a WVU hat and he kicked him out of a practice or something? Yeah. I mean, Narduzzi's blasted Mark Whipple, who is just like, dude, you just won the ACC. You had a Heisman candidate. You almost went undefeated and you're just
first round pick.
first quarterback drafted. This is helping your program. Look, I get it. If you had a riff with them, but just don't go public with it. Don't go public with it. You look like a fool right now. But all of it, I'm here for all of it. And then you have Neil Brown. No, everyone's kind of, it's kind of quiet in Morgantown, but five starters back on offense or on the offensive line. I know Pitt's D line is nasty. So that offensive line, we're going to learn a little bit about that offensive line right away. Mm-hmm. What do you, am I a fool for even asking you, what are you doing here?
It's first of all, it's the perfect game for that Thursday opener, 7 o'clock to kick off week one. I mean, they could not have slotted this in a more perfect spot. I mean, I guess you could have thrown it on the Sunday night game or the Monday night game, but I like it on that Thursday night to open it, to bring back the backyard brawl for the first time in a decade. I mean, it's been way too long. Like you said, these two should play every year. There's no doubt about it. This is what college football is all about. So obviously they're 7-point underdogs. I think it's a little bit inflated because of how good Pitt was last year. And obviously the Mountaineers were 6-7. I think this comes right down to the wire.
I think they
have a chance to win it outright.
I agree. And look, you got to love the Keaton Slovis is the reason why JT Daniels transferred to Georgia. So what happened? They were both at USC. Keaton Slovis is now the starting quarterback of Pitt. So JT Daniels tore his ACL right here at the LA Coliseum. I'm recording here in LA. He's out for the year, but this JT Daniels, a five-star recruit. Well, Keaton Slovis comes in, big time recruit out of Arizona, and he plays damn good in his replacement. So then they're like, we're going with Slovis. JT Daniels transfers to Georgia. Then Slovis, the same exact thing that happened to Daniels happened to Slovis. He starts getting injured. And now this is compelling because JT Daniels has a strong reason to, you know, I feel like from an underdog point of view, the world told you that Slovis is better than JT Daniels. I don't know that I agree with that assessment. And I know if I'm him, I'm saying I'm super focused for that matchup because I want to prove the world wrong and say I'm better than Keaton Slovis. And we're going to go in there and win. I'm all over the points. I'll tell you that because I think this is going to come down to I'll tell you. And another reason that I might like West Virginia is Pat Narduzzi in close games, always a wild card on the coaching front. I remember that Penn State game in Happy Valley. They're down 7 points with 2 minutes left. He's at the 3 yard line of Penn State and he kicks a field goal with only one timeout. It was like, wait, dude, you're down by seven.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And then his defense was, well, I thought our defense could get the ball back. I was like, dude, you had a minute and like 48 seconds on the clock. What are you doing? But this game's awesome. I'm going to say gun to my head, cause it's in Heinz. Give me Pitt. I know Morgan found the West Virginia fans probably hate me already, but I'm just saying it's a 50-50 game. I don't feel confident saying Pitt. I don't feel confident saying West Virginia. It's in Heinz. college football teams normally that are at home for the most part, statistically, they have a better chance of winning. I'm going Pitt, but I could totally see Neil Brown in a perfect spot to knock off the Panthers. What are you doing?
I'm taking the Mountaineers.
There we go. You know, you wouldn't be able to live. You wouldn't be able to go back to Morgantown.
No, over my dead body was I taking that fucking team from Pitt. we got a special song for them in Morgantown too. All I got is that little sound in my head of when on Ryan and Sean's show, the dog.
Oh yeah,
that's all I got in my head thinking about this game. I think they're a live dog, and I think they're going to win outright. I really do. I think it's going to set the tone for hopefully a good year.
Well, let me ask you this, because I've made this case. I was recently on a show this past Saturday as a guest, and the host was a WVU grad, actually, surprisingly. So he was talking about they're going to beat Pitt, and I go, man, they haven't played the backyard brawl in forever. If they beat Pitt, Lance Leipold is in the best scenario. It's almost like Tennessee playing Pitt, if Pitt was to win, because they're going to be partying all week. Now they do. Luckily, it's on a Thursday, so you do get a chance to recover a little bit. But you got to watch out for that upset spot. I know Kansas has been terrible lately, but I'm a believer in the Kansas Jayhawks and Lance Leipold. Yes, I think they're coming around. And I think if you beat Pitt, I think this is a scary game for you guys. If you lose to Pitt, I think you guys will take care of Kansas. So I think it's an interesting spot. You're calling for them to win the backyard brawl. If that's the case, I'm telling you, I'm taking Kansas in the points. Now, I'm not taking Kansas to win on the money line, but I do expect that to be a game in the fourth quarter if that's the scenario.
No, I agree. And these games after Pitt and Virginia Tech, they've always been tough games, that no matter who they've played. I'm trying to remember who they played after the big Virginia Tech game last year. Well, they played at Oklahoma, so like it wasn't a letdown. Yeah,
a little different than Kansas.
but traditionally, like this fan base here, Mountaineer Nation, like it's all about being Pitt and beating Virginia Tech. So having these two on the schedule in the first month, I mean, people are giddy here. We're fired up.
I'm going to make a case. You win this one. I got you guys 1-1. Are you doing 2-0?
I'll go 2-0.
There we go. And then the Towson Tigers come into town. Shout out to Towson. They got a UAB quarterback, Tyler Johnson, the third, transferring in. They're going to be destroyed in this game because Morgantown is batshit crazy. And I do not think you can replicate that at Towson Stadium. So I got West Virginia 2-1. You got them 3-0.
3-0.
Oh, I love it. Then Thursday night, Lane Stadium. This is what I mean. Thank you. West Virginia. It's like their athletic director. You know, I know that I don't know who jumped to the Big 12. What school president? You know, obviously they needed to find a home in a Power 5 conference, so I can't blame them too much. It wasn't really their fault. But thank you for giving us these games. Thank you. Lane Stadium, I have been to this game in Blacksburg on a Thursday night, and actually West Virginia won on a goal line stand. It's absolutely fantastic. Man, these games are tough. You know what?
Can you imagine the Enter Sandman on that night?
I know,
Thursday night,
man.
Another Thursday night.
I know. I'll say this. I think they can get one of them.
I think they'll split too.
Yeah. I think they get either, you know what? I think their chances are probably better to win against Virginia Tech. Cause even when I had Bud Foster on the show today, now, you know, he's still involved with the university. He's not the defensive coordinator anymore, but he was saying that he thinks, you know, they don't have a lot of depth, but he goes, we'll be all right. But I think he thinks, you know, the Brent Pry hire 2 years from now, 3 years from now is when it's really going to pay off. So that made me think that he knows that they're probably not that great this year. Give me WVU upset in Lane. So that would put me then at 3-1. You got them 3-1 as well by essentially the end of September.
Yeah, I think if they beat Pitt, they'll drop the game in Blacksburg, because I think that's gonna be a kind of Super Bowl spot for Virginia Tech after the Mountaineers beat them last year here. To end their undefeated season to start. Obviously it went downhill after that.
Yeah.
But I think if they're 3-0, that's a tough spot. Thursday night in Blacksburg, because that's just like Morgantown. They're batshit crazy there.
I know. It's fantastic. It's absolutely what makes college football college football. They do get a long rest because of a Thursday. But then they play
your favorite team.
Yes. And I will be the biggest. Hey, Morgantown, I will be the biggest West Virginia fan in the world. At least in California. How about that? When they head to Austin, Texas, please remember that awesome game with Holgorsen where that was the Will Greer game where he found the guy that went for two. Horns down game. Fantastic. What are you doing here?
Fine for that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Soft shit.
What are you doing here in Austin, Texas? Oh man, this is a hard game to forecast. I got to take Texas based off of their like recruiting, but I totally expect them to not live up to the hype.
Yeah, usually they haven't disappointed by now. So, I mean, I'll probably take Texas, but take the Mountaineers to cover because they always play Texas well there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be rooting, man, all day. Then you got the bye week, and this is a time for me. I normally do the sling game of the season, right? With all of these previews, I pick out the game of the season, but most of them, I'd say 99, if not 100% of them, have been division games. I'm going to use this moment to backtrack to the backyard brawl. Thank you, college football. That is the sling game of the year because I once had a West Virginia fan tell me, I don't care if we're 0-9 or 0-10. If we beat Pittsburgh, that's all that matters. All right. And I love that. That's what I'm talking about. So it's college football season, which means you need the unbeatable coverage of Sling TV starting at $35 a month. Sling has all the big games on the biggest channels like ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN3, SEC Network, ACC Network, Fox, and the Big Ten Network, all for the best price. You can stream it on any device, record up to 50 hours with included DVR space. You can pause or change your service at any time. Check out sling.com for special offers. Sling, the live TV you love for a price you'll love. Try us today. All right. I just had to get that in there. So you got a bye week. I got him at this point at 3-2. Ryan's got him at 3-2 as well. You get a bye week and now you're hosting once again, Thursday night, Morgantown. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us Thursday night football games. That's another thing that's happened. And I know you host the NFL gambling podcast, but when I was coming up, I sound like a fucking grandpa. Thursday night games. It was college. NFL didn't make that transition till like November. It was always college games would own Thursday nights. And then the NFL would transition when college would leave in November. And then the NFL would do the rest of the season on Thursdays. That's changed. And because of that, I think college football doesn't want to compete with the NFL, which I think is foolish. I think there's room for both. This is my point. Glad to see Morgantown getting Thursday night games. Baylor's going to be pretty damn good this year. This is an interesting game because I really like Baylor on the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively. They started a freshman quarterback the final two games of the season last year. He played pretty damn good, but he is only a sophomore. He has only started a few games. This might be his first really true road test. I know he played. Yeah. Let me see who they get at BYU week two and they get at Ames. So he'll be a little bit battle tested by the time he comes into Morgantown, but I would still argue, and I think Morgantown and West Virginia fans would agree with me, BYU is great. They have great fans. They really do. Iowa State's great. They have great fans. But come on, this is Morgantown. Man, can you a top 10 matchup? Oh man. Give me an upset special. Let's go.
I'm with you. Baylor has never won in Morgantown. That's another nugget.
There we go.
And I think they've been the one year they were in the top five. It was the year that them and TCU got left out of the playoff. Their one loss was in Morgantown.
That's true. When they had, was that RG3 they had then?
It was right after RG3. It was Art Briles though.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, something interesting that I think about with this is bringing in Graham Harrell, you know, Dave Aranda was a Mike Leach guy at one point, played Coach Leach. And I know he's had very good success as a head coach. And when he was DC of LSU against the air raid, you saw it last, or not only against the air raid, but also the way like any of those really up tempo spread offenses, he has had very good success. I mean, he whooped Ole Miss in the bowl game. Now Corral got injured, but against Lincoln Riley, they beat him last year, and they give them fits. I'm telling you, they give. So Aranda, watch out though, because I do think he's actually really underrated as a head coach. And I think he might, I was surprised. I think LSU even came calling and he decided to stay in Waco. So just something to monitor with that game. He has been really good against the air raid so far. Keep an eye on that.
He's a good coach.
Yeah. He's a damn good coach, I think, man. And,
those guys play hard.
Yeah. Yeah. So then you head to Lubbock Saturday, October 22nd, Lubbock, Texas. I got Texas Tech, man. I think Joey McGuire is the Big 12 is fucking fun this year, man, because I think the McGuire hire is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing in Zach Kittley from Western Kentucky, they're going to be, and he's a Leach guy. See, you see the circle of the whole Big 12 is Leach.
It all comes down to Leach.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Shout out to our friend. Shout out to our friend, Mike Leach. Great guy. Are you calling for a win in Lubbock?
I'm going to go loss. The only time we've ever won in Lubbock, ironically, was when Patrick Mahomes and Cliff Kingsbury were there. Go figure that.
College football makes no sense, right?
Yeah. But they blew out with Skylar Howard. They blew out Patrick Mahomes. So yeah, no, we struggle in Lubbock, and if coming off a big emotional Baylor win, it's kind of a letdown spot, as you say.
So I got them 4-3 then. We're seeing eye to eye. They host TCU. Now I know some people, this TCU team, the people are high on Sonny Dykes. Well, believe it or not, he is a Mike Leach guy.
Yeah.
They head to Morgantown. Everybody. Yeah. The whole fucking conference. I'm just going to stop giving analysis. They head to Morgantown. I have West Virginia beating TCU. You?
Yeah. Neil Brown's undefeated against TCU in his tenure here. So I think he continues to keep being the Horned Frogs.
So that would put us at a 5-3, correct?
Yeah.
Right. 5-3.
5-3 going to Ames.
I'm sorry, man. I got Iowa State, man. What are you doing here?
Campbell has had Neil's number, so I'll go with the Cyclones too. They're tough there in Ames, and I'm high on.
I know.
I think everybody, like you said last year, loved the Cyclones. They were the sexy pick, and then everybody went in on them, and then they kind of were let down. This is the year to pound by them this year because everybody's like, oh, I'm not getting burnt by the Cyclones again.
Yeah, people are like, Breece Hall is gone. Well, when David Montgomery left for the Chicago Bears, no one knew who the hell Breece Hall was. He's got, let me tell you, Campbell is a very good, you know, he's very good at judging talent, in my opinion, and developing it. So that puts us then at what, 5-4?
5-4.
All we need is one win. Yeah! The so Oklahoma Sooners. The Oklahoma Sooners and Jeff Lebby's offense come into Morgantown. Won't this be the last time you get the chance to beat Oklahoma in Morgantown?
Because so we've never beat Oklahoma.
I know. And they leave after next year. Yeah. So next year will be in Norman. Oh, it's happening. Fuck yeah. Give me West Virginia. Give me West Virginia.
I'm with you. Yep. This is the last stand, man.
This is it.
Karma. They're going to knock Oklahoma out of the Big 12 championship race with this upset win.
Oh, I would love it. Let's do
it'd
it.
It'd be great if Oklahoma and Texas got canceled out again, just like last year.
100%.
It'd be better than that.
Dude, I'm rooting for that, and I'm rooting for that to happen to UCLA and USC in the Pac-12. Let's go.
Yes.
So six, the over just cashed, folks. And unfortunately, if
the
you
rest
beat,
of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but if you beat Oklahoma, you're going to be flat as shit against Kansas State. I bet Kansas State wins.
Yeah, and they'll just run it down our throat with Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like they always have our number. I mean, at that point, if you beat Oklahoma and Pitt in the same year and
it's a win,
six wins, it's everybody's, you could throw away the rest of the season, goal accomplished.
And then they head to Stillwater. I got them going 6-6, dude. How about you?
Hey, we're seeing eye to eye, 6-6. Gundy owns them.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns most people.
So let me ask you this though. If he goes 6-6, we've said he's fired. But what if he beats Pitt in Oklahoma? Or
then
what if
he gets another year?
Or what if he beats Pitt and Virginia Tech?
Yeah. Or what if he wins at Texas?
That's true. That's true. There's four games. There's four games. He could, if he wins, if he goes 3-1 of those four, they could go 5-7 and you might have life. No.
If he goes 6-6 with the way we laid it out, I think he gets another year. So I take back what I said earlier after diving into the actual schedule, because there certain wins means different is they mean something different to this fan base. So if you win Pitt, that's like winning six games right there.
It's easy to see a tide turn.
There we go. All right. I'm on the over. Ryan's on the over. I cannot wait. I'll be honest. That schedule's insane. But thank you, because to me, from a fan that loves college football, I think they did the best they could. And I think, you know, what did we get? Three Thursday games. Hey, rest of college football, take notes. And they get the rivalry games. I challenge the whole college football world, even if no one's listening, I don't care, right? I will say this when I'm on my deathbed, all right? I want to see these rivalries back, damn it, all right? Good job, West Virginia. You might be one of my favorite teams this year because we have the schedule like this, all right? I Neil Brown, it's going to be a tall order, but let's see if you can do it. I'm on the over. Ryan's on the over. Subscribe to the College Football Experience, people. And also remember, subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. And remember, we're on YouTube. Together as one, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. Also, please give us a 5-star review, people. Go to iTunes, say some nice things about us. It takes a minute out of your day. All right, please do that. And then if you do that, take a screenshot, find me on Twitter at @TheColbyD, or find the College Football Experience on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Show us that screenshot. We're going to enter you in a David Stern-like raffle where you will be guaranteed to win because it's going to be rigged. All right. So the envelope will be cold, all right? And you will win at some point here. Just do it, and then let me take care of the rest. You will win a gift card to the SGPN merch store, all right? Do that, and also, like I said, subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. I'm really excited, Bob Huggins, Basketball Hall of Fame. Basketball September. Hall of Fame. Yes, yep. Cannot wait for that. And, hey, it's going to be Big 12. Look, I know I just said I don't like West Virginia in the Big 12, but I do like it from like an entertainment standpoint with basketball. Oh man. Even with football, it's fun because they're a quality team, but I just wish they would play a lot of their regional battles that they've played for, oh, only 150 years or something. But Big 12 basketball, oh man, loaded. Absolutely loaded.
Best league in America.
Yeah, by far. I don't think anything's close. I don't think anything's close. So check out the College Basketball Experience, folks. Also check out, I mean, what do I have to, do I have to just tell you the NFL season is right around the corner, and Ryan McIntyre hosts the NFL gambling podcast. He also hosts the Ryan and Rush show, which is talking sports all the time. I see them. They got the bets going with Kyle. I saw with the MLB. Tell me about the Ryan and Rush show.
So we're daily every morning, 7 a.m. Eastern, out by 9 a.m. So everybody that's going to work at 9 Eastern, or if you're on the West Coast like yourself, it'll be out by 6 a.m. your time. Just talking storylines, giving out bets. It's just a talk show. 45 minutes to an hour every day, just like this. Two regular guys, just telling ordinary stories.
What's not to like about that? All right. So everyone give Ryan a follow. America. Yeah, exactly. You're damn right. Give Ryan a follow on Twitter at @Moneyline_Mac. That's MAC on Twitter, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. People, check it out. I'm telling you, the guy's talented. He's got great shows. He's got great advice. And he's on the over with West Virginia. So go bet it, bozos. All right. Check out the sports gambling podcast. They just went through 32 NFL team futures. We just had Pat McAfee on the show. I don't know how much he's loved in Morgantown, but check it out. Pac-Man Jones was on the show. There you go. Pac-Man Jones was on the show. Listen to that episode. We have Mike Leach on the show all the time. Go listen to those episodes on the sports gambling podcast. Also check out all the other feeds. If you get the SGPN app, which is free in the App Store and Google Play Store, you'll get access to all the feeds, whatever your sport is. All right. If you're into soccer, you got the World Cup happening. So soccer gambling podcast, MMA gambling podcast, it doesn't matter. USFL gambling podcast. I host that thing too. So check out all that stuff, folks. And the Discord channel, highly recommend that. I grew up in a household full of like 100 people at all times. All right. So when I was a kid trying to watch like Scooby-Doo or something, that just didn't happen. I would get slapped in the back of the head and they'd put on sports. All right. But I grew up in that and I miss that. Now that I'm a married guy that has just a cat and a dog and my wife at the house, my wife doesn't like sports. So I'm just sitting there watching games all the time. Sometimes I have action on the games, but other times I don't. But I miss that connection. Just seeing Dante Stills' interception last year. Oh my God, did you see that interception? I like to say, and I go to connect, and my wife says, no, I didn't. I was in the bathroom. I was in the other room watching, you know, I don't know, some scary movie or something, right? So then I'm talking to my dog or cat. No, there's no options, but there is an option. SportsGamblingPodcast/Discord. Hop in there. It doesn't matter the sport. It's fun to interact with the guys and gals or whatever, and just have that little rush of like, oh, they're watching this game. Did you see that pass? Did you see that interception? Did you see that slam dunk? Check it out. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. And especially if you like to bet. Hello. I mean, check that out too. All right, folks. I can't wait for the Backyard Brawl. This is the college football experience, West Virginia Mountaineer style. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Well, I don't get the right name.
It's Division I football! It's the Big 12! It ain't your murals!
Get my limousine! Right on 85! Get my Learjet! Woo! And take off to New Orleans!
They're begging us! Please have a party! Feed us drinks! Get us laid!